Hello, 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 and welcome back. This is the Sheila Show. Last week, we talked about, Marvel. We talked about my favorite characters in Marvel. I'll be continuing that this week. I really enjoyed that whole segment, even though I got on a little late. I enjoyed that whole segment. I'm ready to jump in to today. Honestly, I'm pretty tired, too. But I'm ready to jump in and talk about this week. We're going to be talking about the future of Marvel and some of my favorite films, but mostly like the future of the Marvel and more Marvel movies that are going to be coming out, and talk about the cast and what I think. So I'm excited for that. I'm really wanting to get into that. So you're listening to the Sheila Show. I'm Sheila at hawkradio.primo stream. I'm going to see if this song is going to play.
From y'all don't want money, y'all don't want from me. Y'all wanna die in the chase of things. We all gonna die and break the thing. Trapped inside a burning church, made it out alive. God know my worth. Raw face, scar face, y'all face. More defeat, I know it hurts.
20 of them.
20 on call, got 20 in my hand. Got 20 on church gate, 20 to my dog. Got 20 on girls that'll f you over. Take your safe, take your keys, take your rover. Take the heart you thought you had. Speed off, rolling up life in a taxi cab.
Ops on the radar.
You're dead to me.
How you wanna play ball?
You're dead to me.
Takes off.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
You know what zone I'm in.
You're dead to me.
Don't care who you with.
You're dead to me.
Watch me do my.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
Hey, hey, ready, set, go crazy. Hit the finesse, you see I'm getting mines. Life hit it with the lemons, lime light. But at night, we still committing crimes, spitting rhymes. By the coupe with the spinner rim, get inside. Bring a friend, bleed the hands from the genocide. Clean me up, beam me up to the other side. Brothers die cause coons turn to butterflies. They don't wanna see me sitting in the bins. They don't wanna see me living on the end. Of the city, in the city, why been? Show no pity in the city for the sin. They don't wanna see me getting to the check. They just wanna see me swimming in the dead. Don't drown on ground with it to your head. 911 free, zoom, zoom, dead.
Ops on the radar.
You're dead to me.
How you wanna play ball?
You're dead to me.
Takes off.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
You know what zone I'm in.
You're dead to me.
Don't care who you with.
You're dead to me.
Watch me do my.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
I move like a millipede. When I flex them tendons like rubber trees. Young Billy Jackson back to the mouthpiece drawn. Got a verbal armory. Stack bodies, not figurines. Move beneath the surface, submarine. I'm half machine, obscene with a light sword. Look inside the brain, it's a riot in the psych ward. What you standing on the side for? Roar like a lioness, punch like a cyborg. Spit slick, attack is subliminal. Flowers on my mind, but the rhyme style's sinister. Stab behind my own bars like a seasoned criminal. Gotham city streets, outplaying the crushing any system that belittles us. Antidote to every poison they administer. Switching like time signatures. Colors in my aura tend to cover the perimeter. Brown bodies that the blues wanna shoot through. High res lenses wanna wool over your eyes. My strength ain't nothing like my size. Blades on the top, Kathleen Cleaver. Tangle my cords like a weaver.
Tune them. Ops on the radar.
You're dead to me.
How you wanna play ball?
You're dead to me.
Takes off.
You're dead to me. You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
You know what zone I'm in.
You're dead. Alright, hopefully you can hear it. The audio's kind of bad on my part, so I can't hear much, but that was Oops by Kendrick Lamar, and that song was actually featured in Black Panther, and it was in the car scene where we first get to see Black Panther and his team in full action going after Ursula's Claw, who's like the antagonist in Black Panther, if anyone didn't know that. But let's hop in, let's jump in. I actually like looked up a whole bunch of articles and stuff to talk about, pertaining the future of Marvel, and I looked up, or I came across this article by Vocal Media, and it says top 10 most controversial MCU Marvel Cinematic Universe topics, vocal.media, if you want to look at that. And I'm just going to go through this list and honestly give my opinion on all of them, because I went through like one or two. I saw one or two yesterday when I was looking at them, and I was like, I get it, but what are we talking about here? You know, it was like that sort of thing. I was like, I get what they're saying. Obviously, this is controversial for a reason, you know, but I was like, it already happened, you know, no need to fight it. And let's just leave it the way it is. I'm not going to scroll down too much. I'm not going to go ahead of myself. I kind of want to have like my genuine reaction when I look at these, like as I'm talking right now. So we're going to do that. Okay, the first, there's 10 of them. And number 10, the audience should not sympathize with Loki. And Loki, I talked about this last week. I loved the show after the second time watching it, obviously. I love the show. Obviously, his character at first is not meant to, like, be loved at first. Like, he's not an enjoyable character in the beginning. Obviously, he shouldn't, like, you know, hurt everybody, obviously. Like, that's, like, the whole point. He was the antagonist. Like, he was the bad guy. But he turned over a new leaf. Like, I feel like everyone, like, people should sympathize with him only because he made himself better. We can tell he made himself better. And because he, like, getting background and, like, the rivalry that him and Thor kind of had, I think people should sympathize with him. I feel like a lot of characters that, like Loki, where we see him turn over a new leaf and they're, like, the bad guys turning to good guys, there's always something to sympathize with them about. Because most of the time they're bad guys because, you know, something happened in their life or their parents treated them wrong, you know, something like that. But I have sympathy with him. I feel bad, like, he went through what he did. Or I feel bad, like, you know, that his mom died, you know? I feel bad that he technically was the one that did it to her. Spoiler, but, like, he technically was the one that led the bad guys to her. But I still feel bad for him. Just, like, maybe it's the empathy in me. I don't know. Like, I feel bad for him in some way just because he turned over loose. He's trying to be technically a good guy. And we've seen his background with Thor, but, you know, we've seen that. Like, we've seen that, and we should sympathize him in some way. And let me just read to you what the author had said. And he says, many argue that his character must stop being sympathized with. As a villain who has sent out an alien army to attack New York City, many do not think their sympathy has been earned. In almost every movie Loki has been in, he betrays the heroes. He is untrustworthy and a loose cannon, and keeping him around means the mischief is always bound. Which obviously is bound to happen. He was a bad guy, like, duh. Like, like, you cannot just trust him automatically. That happens. But I don't think him being, like, a bad guy, like, him, like, he had a reason behind it. Obviously, it wasn't the best reason. It was, like, it was actually really dumb. Like, you know, you can't just send out aliens on New York and then, you know, suddenly become a good guy and think everybody's gonna trust you, obviously. But his reasoning behind it was his reasoning behind it, and that's him. He had his problems, but in some way I feel bad for him. You know, I just feel like everyone, like, I always feel bad for a character that always tries to turn on a new leaf because you see they're trying to be better, and he's been trying to get better. Number 9, the MCU ruined Spider-Man. If anyone didn't know, there were three actors with Spider-Man. There was Tom Holland, who played Spider-Man, like, most recently. There's Tobey Maguire, who played Spider-Man first, and then Andrew Garfield, who played Spider-Man second. And people are saying that the newer Spider-Mans with Tom Holland are kind of, like, they're not horrible, but they're, like, ruined. I personally love, oh my God, I love the new Spider-Mans. I think they're really good. I think every single one that has came out have been really good. I honestly, those, like, fall, like, really high, like, on the list of, like, top Marvel movies, in my opinion. They're, like, they're really good to me. I like the Tom Holland's acting. I like the people who are featured in it, like, the cast in general. Tom Holland, Zendaya, like, come on. Like, I'm just saying. And especially, what was it, No Way Home, where you had all three Spider-Mans in that one. You had old villains coming in. Like, that is crazy. That's, like, one, that's crazy. That's, like, one multiverse right there. Like, that was a good movie. And I honestly think Tom Holland portrays Spider-Man so well. Because I don't know how to explain it, but he gives, like, such a raw and natural, like, dorky kid vibe to him, if that makes any sense. Like, I feel like he portrays Spider-Man so well as, like, a young teenager who obviously just going through life and now have, you know, now he gets to work with superheroes and he gets to work with, you know, Iron Man, you know, and he's like, obviously has seen people die. He has to deal with his aunt dying basically in front of him. Like, you know, I think Tom Holland portrays that well. And he's a wonderful actor in my opinion. So he did really good. I feel like people bash him for just Spider-Man in general and for his acting, but he really good actor. Let me tell you what this author said. He said, there have been many actors who have portrayed Spider-Man, and the newest one is Tom Holland. However, there are people who dislike this actor's portrayal of his character and prefer the other movies. They also argue that the MCU ruined his character as a whole. The thing is, I feel like every time I get the comparison, or every time I hear the comparison of, oh, what Spider-Man's better, what Spider-Man's better, like, I don't know how to properly explain it, but I feel like all the actors who have played Spider-Man have portrayed him so differently, but they all hit the mark, if that makes any sense. Like, Tom Holland portrays it one way, Andrew Garfield portrays it one way, Tobey Maguire portrays it one way, and they all have really good movies. The thing is with, I feel like you can't really compare Tom Holland's Spider-Man because his problems and his stuff really tie in with the Avengers. So you're seeing Iron Man in here, you're seeing him in, you know, Infinity War, Endgame, going through all that. So you can't, I feel like they don't really compare. When you're talking about Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire, they're not fighting with, you know, 20 other dudes. They're not fighting with, you know, robotic guys and people with superhuman strength. You know, they're not fighting with Captain America or Iron Man or Hulk, you know. They're fighting most of the time alone. You know, so I feel like you can never compare the two other Spider-Mans with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and then one Tom Holland with and him being in the Avengers. You know, it just doesn't compare because Tom Holland's going through a whole bunch of stuff. Like, his problems emerge from a whole bunch of other stuff, basically. And people believe that the MCU took away some of Spider-Man's tragic backstory. In the first movies, in the comics, Spider-Man's main motivation is that with great power comes great responsibility, as said by his uncle who dies. In MCU, Uncle Ben isn't even mentioned, and Peter Parker's main motivations are to impress and aid Tony Stark, which is understandable. But again, I feel like that's where it lies with he's an Avenger. With Tom Holland, he's an Avenger Spider-Man. The other two Spider-Mans, they were just Spider-Man, they got their powers, and, you know, they made the suit. That was the difference between Tom Holland's portrayal and Tom Holland in general, and then the other two portrayal. I don't want to keep calling them the other two. With Andrew, I'll just say Andrew and Toby. With Andrew and Toby's portrayal, like, they're going through two different things. Obviously, with Andrew and Toby, they're going to dig deep into his backstory, Uncle Ben, and all that stuff. They're going to dig deep into that because they have nothing else to really rely on. They're not going to talk about him wanting to be an Avenger or him joining the Avenger because the Avengers weren't around in that universe. They're not in that universe at all. So obviously they're not going to talk about that. So they're going to dive deep into his backstory. They're going to really, like, dive deep into their love stories. And I feel like that's what made their two movies really, really good and why people really love their movies, because the love stories within it too. Like, honestly, they're really good. And they're so cute, but one of them is tragic. But, you know, they're such good love stories. So obviously with them too, if they're not focusing on the MCU, or they're not going to be focusing on the Avengers, then him joining the Avengers and the people around him that he has to, like, now live up to and fight with, they have to go deep into their backstory, basically. So they need to have, like, filler for their movie. Like, obviously for Andrew and Toby, they're not going to talk about him joining the MCU or him joining the Avengers because they're not in it. So they're going to go into his backstory. They're going to talk about his life. They're going to talk about his uncle, Uncle Ben, and then his aunt, and then his love interest, and then his friends mostly, you know. But with Tom Holland, they're going to talk about, yes, they're going to touch on, like, family life in general, but they're mostly going to go into him fighting with the Avengers and him trying to deal with doing both at the same time, but also hiding it from people he knows and he's close to. That's basically it. I feel like people kind of miss that part, though, honestly. Like, people kind of miss the part where it's like they're encountering two different things. Tom Holland's with the Avengers. The other two, Andrew and Toby, they're not with the Avengers. So they're talking about two different things. They have to encounter two different things. Like, they're not the same. I feel like you cannot compare stuff like that. It does not work. And oh, the next one. We're going to go to the next one. This one was the one I looked at, and I was like, what are we doing right now? And I work at the movies. I don't know if I said this before. I work at the movie theater, AMC, and this guy at my job, like, I remember when, I wasn't there when Endgame came out, I believe, but when, actually, no, I'm lying. I think I was there when Endgame came out, but they're talking about Thanos, like, he, like, likes, I'm not gonna say he's obsessed with Thanos, but he, like, loves Thanos. Like, I got him a mug for, like, Christmas or something, like, a Thanos mug, and he always was like, oh, Thanos is right, Thanos is right, and number 8 on this list is Thanos was right. And don't get me wrong, I understand both sides. I am never gonna say Thanos is right. Why would I say that for? You know, it's like that type of thing. I would never say, oh yeah, Thanos is right, but trying to kill half of the population. You know, no, that's not right, period. Let me tell you what this person said. Thanos had one main goal, to wipe out half of the universe population to save the other half. By doing so, the people who survive would have more food and materials. It would ultimately solve the issue of overpopulation. There's just one issue. Half of the universe has to die. Many argue that his intentions were good and that his plan was smart. Others believe that it was evil or that there are better ways to carry out the plan. Thanos' idea solved overpopulation. His plan was a solution to starvation, access to clean water, pollution, and climate change. Because of his childhood, when he grew up on a planet always on the brink of collapse, he felt compelled to make sure no other planets had to go through such a catastrophe as his home planet. By erasing half the population, the capacity of every planet would lessen. Wiping out half of all living beings is immoral. By taking that many lives, that leaves so many people losing ones that they love, including family members, friends, co-workers, and more. People believe that there are better ways to fix the issue that Thanos wanted to fix, like doubling the resources or decreasing fertility. Yes, that last part, agreed. The first part, don't get me wrong, I understand what he was trying to do. Okay, let's come up with a plan. How are we going to solve this world that he's not even part of? Technically, he's in from a whole other planet, but how are we going to solve this planet's problem? Overpopulation. Okay, people are, you know, starving in the street. There's pollution, all that stuff. Let's kill half of the people on the planet. Yes or no? No. I wouldn't, like, I don't, that's not smart. Like, and here's the thing. It wasn't even like, let's find another planet, let's put them on there. No. Build, you know, half of them there, half of them here. No. It was like, let me get all of the Infinity Stones. Let me snap my fingers and half of you would disappear, like, just like that. No warning or nothing. We're just going to stop and you're gone. That's what it was. So, no, I'm not going to say he was right, nor am I going to say that he, like, took a good approach to this one. He's a bad guy. I'm not. Like, the only bad guy, other than probably Loki and who else was horrible but turned good? Nobody. Unless you're counting Winter Soldier, but again, he could never make me hate him. He could never. I love Winter Soldier, so. Sebastian Stan, yeah. Even him, I don't even blame. He was under, like, a spell, technically, like, hypnosis. Like, I don't blame him for what he did as Winter Soldier. You know, he was compelled. He didn't know any better, so I don't blame him. But Thanos, I'm not going to say he was right, because I don't think he was right. Killing half the population just to save the other half of the population was, like, no, it's not good. And then I remember when I looked at this, too, I was like, though, like, the people that are on the, you know, are still alive, eventually they're going to make more kids. Are you just going to do this every, what, hundreds a year or every, like, thousands a year, whatever it is? Like, eventually, obviously, people are going to, like, die off, but people are going to make more kids. People are going to still pollute because that's just natural human way. Like, that's what they're going to do. People are going to pollute the air. They're going to do that. That's what they do. It's not right, obviously, but it it got there one way. They're going to continue to do it. And I was like, obviously, it's good that he had Earth in mind. You know, like, when I was reading this, I was like, okay, he has Earth in mind. He doesn't want it to go through the same thing. I'm like, that's a good part of the whole thing. But I'm like, killing half the population to help the other half isn't well. And when I was going through this, I was like, half of the people are going to disappear. And yes, it might solve some type of issue with people not having housing or people not being able to get a house or afford, you know, afford groceries because there are so many people in the world, whatever, and prices are going up, whatever. But I'm like, what, you go to work the next day and your boss is like gone. Like, your boss is gone, or you go to your bakery job the next day and then the bakery owner who makes everything is gone. What are you going to sell? You don't know anything. Now you have to shut down. You have to find a job that has their owner still operating the business, but, you know, you don't know what's happening because half of the people on Earth just got zapped away. You know what I mean? Like, at one point, just, like, it makes no sense. Like, you have to think about the stuff that comes after that. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, obviously, there would be pros to the situation. Like, as they mentioned, there would be no overpopulation. Or there will be no starvation, access to clean water, pollution, and climate change. Okay. But also, people that are still alive still have to make a living some way. And you go to work the next day, again, like I mentioned, and then there's, like, nobody. Your boss is gone. You're like, what is happening right now? Because you're like, why is my boss gone? Or you go to your bakery job the next day, and then the person who makes everything is gone. Or you go to anywhere, you go to eat at some random restaurant, then the owner is gone, but he cooks all the food, so, like, you can't even do anything there. I'm like, you know, there are some parts where you're like, no. So I would never say Thanos is right, because at the end of the day, you shouldn't kill half, like, millions of people, just save the other millions of people, but not think about the consequences after that. Because also, it's just also, like, a thing of, you can't, obviously, we can't control who's going to die or who's, I shouldn't say die, oh my gosh. You can't control who's going to get, like, blipped away. You can't control that. So it's like, one second you, like, have your whole family with you. Imagine, just imagine, yeah. I need everyone who thinks, like, Thanos was right, whatever. Ugh, that's annoying. Whoever thinks Thanos was right, to just imagine you're at home, chilling with your family in the living room watching some sports game, and then not even a minute later, 30 seconds later, you see particles floating in the air right past your face, and then half of them are gone. Imagine that. And when I say half of them, I'm not meaning like a distant cousin that you've never seen before. You know, you probably wouldn't care because I'm like, you probably just met them. But I'm talking about, like, your sister's gone, your mom is gone, your dad is still here, but, you know, two of them are gone, and then, like, your dog is gone or something. Like, you, like, are missing important people in your life, because you can't control who gets blipped away or not. It just happens. You know, it's like a roulette. Like, you never know. So, in that way, I'm kind of like, it's a horrible thing. And then, number seven, moving on from that. Number seven, Clint should have died instead of Natasha. And this was, like, a big thing. But I'm like, when people say Clint should have died instead of Natasha, one, it's not like he threw her off the mountain or cliff, I should say. It's not like he threw her off. She decided to go off. She sacrificed herself. Like, let's just say that beforehand. Like, she sacrificed herself. It's not like he threw her off and it's like, oh, I should have just threw myself off and used to stay up here. No, like, she did it herself. She let herself jump off, or she, like, let herself go. Just saying. Let me tell you what the author said. During Avengers Endgame, Natasha, Black Widow, had to sacrifice her life to retrieve the Soul Stone. By losing one of which he loved, Clint was able to get the stone to help the Avenger save everyone who was dusted away. Many people argue that Clint should have died in her place, while others are okay with her death over his. People are glad that it was Natasha instead of Clint. Why? First of all, he had a family. They had all died in the snap, which was one of the main reasons he was so desperate to get them back. Also, Natasha took pride in the fact that her death would mean something. If he had died in her place, she would be discontent. At least this way, she knew she was dying for a good reason. Many argue that Clint should have been the one to die. During the 5 years that half of the universe is gone, Natasha spent it trying to help everyone cope with the losses and try to mend what was broken. What was Clint doing? Murdering as many people as he could. Also, many argue that her death doesn't do her character justice in that they only killed her off to push a narrative of the men. Killing off one of the few female characters who have been there since the beginning doesn't sit right with certain people. Which is true. I liked Black Widow's character. And honestly, I wish she would have been there for much longer. I wish we would have seen more from her. Obviously, Black Widow came out with obviously her own spinoff movie, but I would have loved to see Black Widow part of the Avengers in general. But maybe that's just the Avengers fan in me in general, and I've never read the comics, so I don't really have anything to base it off of. But as a Marvel fan, whenever a character leaves, when they remove a character, like when Captain America left, or when Iron Man left, or obviously Black Widow, when they died technically, I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, they could have found some way, because they keep coming out with movies, but so they could definitely find some way, somehow, to go back in time and fix them. I know they can. They're the Avengers. You know, Tony Stark was stinking rich. Like, he was filthy rich. You know, he could have put something together. They're smart, for the most part. They're all pretty smart. Well, you know, there are, like, one or two smart people in there. They could have put something together, you know? Like, it should have happened. And Clint, again, I don't blame him, because she sacrificed herself. And again, he does have a family. And even though she did end up finding her family before Endgame? She obviously, because Black Widow took place technically before Endgame. She did end up finding her family, but I don't even think they knew that. Yeah, I don't think they knew that, because there was a scene in Endgame, I believe, and they were like, oh, does she have a family? And then I believe he said only us, or no, something like that. It was around those lines. So, yes, he had a family, so he shouldn't have died, but also she sacrificed herself for the greater good. So, I don't technically agree with that one. And then Bucky Barnes should have been the new Captain America's number 6. And Bucky Barnes is Winter Soldier, one of my favorite characters. I shouldn't say my favorite, but one of my favorite characters. I love him. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes and no. I said this last radio show that I think he should have been. And I think he definitely, they were besties. Like, I would think you would just hand it down to your best friend, not, you know, Falcon, that just kind of there. Even though I love his character, I'm just saying. And let me tell you what the author said. At the end of Avengers Endgame, Captain America, with an old man, gives his shield to Sam Wilson, also known as Falcon. This made many viewers angry, because they believed that the shield should have gone to Bucky Barnes, Captain America's childhood best friend he had spent years trying to save. Others believed that Falcon was the right choice. Why do people think Falcon was the better choice? Well, many argue that the Falcon has a similar personality to Steve Rogers. They both fought in the military and dealt with losing a best friend during that time. Sam had also been loyal to Rogers, and from the moment he met him, he had his full trust. They also believe that having him be the new Captain America gives the Avengers more diversity, and characters to represent a team of world savers could help humanity as a whole with acceptance and racism. Others believe that Bucky should get the shield because after fighting battles for most of his extended life, he deserved rest. Which, I don't think that's honestly a good reason, personally. But, okay. Like, just because he fought a whole bunch of battles, he deserves rest. No, that's not a good reason. But here's the other part. Others argue that Bucky Barnes should have gotten the shield. After all, Steve did spend many movies trying to rescue and save him, which he did. Ever since Bucky and Steve were young, Bucky always stood up for him. As best friends, they went through so much together. They fought each other and saved each other's lives. Bucky made selfless decisions to protect the world from his brainwashed mind, just like he went under and lived in Wakanda at the end of Civil War. People argue that he was a perfect candidate rather than Falcon. Which is understandable. I get both sides, but I think Bucky should have gotten it. Just because, again, they were friends. And he's good in combat, obviously. We've seen it. So I think he could have taken the role. But also, I feel like with Falcon's, his suit, his little wings, having the shield kind of works better, personally. Well, that's more like aesthetically and, like, you know, pleasing to the eye way. Like, but I feel like Bucky should have got it because they were friends and because they fought together for a long time. And again, like they mentioned, they were together. They spent a long time, well, Captain America spent a long time trying to get to him and help him. So I get that one. Number 5. Captain America's ending in Endgame ruined his character, which I honestly hated that they made him go back in time, like, and be with his one true love, which is so cute. Oh my gosh, the cutest little thing ever. You know, he went back to go with Peggy, which, again, really cute, but no, like, could have kept them in there. Could have kept them in there. Just saying. Let's see what the author said. Avengers Endgame had an ending that left many leaving the theater angry and confused and others content and satisfied. After defeating Thanos, Steve Rogers made it his mission to travel back to the past to return all the Infinity Stones and Thor's hammer. Instead of coming back to the present timeline, he stayed behind with Peggy Carter, a girl he liked from his past before he was frozen, for 70 years. Many argue that his ending was uncharacteristic, selfish, and ruined his character arc. For example, people have pointed out that Peggy ended up living a happy life with a different husband and even had kids throughout the normal timeline. How can someone ruin another person's chance at happiness knowing that the person he loves can achieve it? People argue that someone as noble and caring for others as Captain America should not put himself in front of that. Not only that, but appearing out of nowhere with no other explanation than time travel would seem very confusing for someone from Peggy's time period. They literally made this man this skinny, scrawny kid, like a huge muscular guy. I think that she would believe in time travel, not gonna lie. I'm just saying, like, we literally saw in front of our eyes where she made this guy, like, huge and buff. Like, I think she'll be fine. Continuing, others loved it and believed it was a good ending to a storyline. After years of fighting and battles, this audience believed that he deserved the happy ending he always wanted. They believe that this character finally gets to rest and be reunited with the love of his life, which is really cute. But, again, me as a fan, I would have loved to see him more and more Avengers movies, but obviously that won't happen because, you know, he went back in time and most likely he's dead by now, just saying. But I don't think it ruined his character, because at the end of the day he did like her, so I wouldn't say it was like selfish of him, because he didn't really hurt anyone, well, other than the guy and the husband and the kid that they said that Peggy had another timeline. Other than that, knowing that she would have been loved anyways, technically he didn't hurt anyone, so it's fine. He wanted to end it there. He's fine. And then, number 4. Avengers Infinity War was better than Avengers Endgame. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this last radio show also. I have a thing where whenever I go back and rewatch all of the Marvel movies, because I do it a lot, where I just go on a whole like week or two marathon of watching every single Marvel movie, literally in timeline. I like to go in like timeline order. It depends sometimes. I like to go in chronological order sometimes, but I like to go timeline order once in a while where it's like we see the first Avenger, like the first Avenger. Which now will probably be, I think they will put Captain Marvel first, I think I've seen now. And then it's obviously Captain America. But Avengers Infinity War then was better than Avengers Endgame. I like to skip over those two movies whenever I watch the whole marathon, just because I cannot take anyone dying. I can't take seeing anyone leave, like Vision. I cannot see him literally get that stone ripped out of his forehead by Thanos. I cannot watch that, so I skip over that respectfully. We don't need to see all that. Just saying. And I'm about to start skipping over, well, the Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm going to start skipping over that too, because I was in theater and I basically cried during that movie. So we're going to have to skip that one too. 3 movies I don't need to watch. And let me read it. While many people loved Endgame, enjoyed its ending, and were moved by the emotional scenes, many prefer Infinity War. The Thanos in Infinity War is arguably better than the Thanos in Endgame. Thanos had character development, his backstory was given, and he seemed much more driven to get the job done. In Infinity War, he seemed to be everywhere when he needed to be, which made him a character we knew was too powerful to be matched. In Endgame, however, his screen time was cut short and we saw less of him, making him seem more like an obstacle than an enemy. Also, Thor's character in Infinity War made us see the emotional side of him, ultimately making us root for him even more. In Endgame, these complex emotions seem to fade as time went on in the movie. Lastly, the twist at the end made everyone on the edge of their seat. The ending of Infinity War is arguably what made Endgame the top grossing movie of all time. However, many argue that Endgame was better than Infinity War. Endgame had more dramatic moments, such as the death of beloved characters. Not only did those deaths make it a more emotional experience, but they died to save the universe, making an emotional sacrifice we didn't want but had to accept. True. There is also some humor and lightheartedness in Endgame that wasn't expected. The humor throughout helped make the 3-hour-long movie easier to sit through. Although many audience members were left with many questions at the end of the movie, the ending had more closure than Infinity War, which some prefer. The thing is, Infinity War was kind of like a... Infinity War and Endgame were kind of like Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2. They connect, obviously, like all movies do. So I feel like saying that Infinity War kind of left them confused, duh, it's going to leave you confused because it's literally just a whole bunch of people, like, disappearing. And then Endgame kind of cleared everything up and showed what happened, and they came back. So, duh, you're going to be confused about that. Like, like, as simple as that, it's obviously, like, that's going to happen. Like, quick break. If anyone new just joined in, you're listening to The Sheila Show. Happens every Friday at 1 o'clock. At hawkradio.primostream.com. Back to what I was saying, though. Yeah, you're bound to be confused if you're watching Infinity War and you're, like, sitting at the end, like, what just happened? Well, for the first time. By now, I feel like everybody has watched it, but, like, for the first time, we're going to be like, what just happened right there? And, duh. Like, it's a part one and two. Like, you know, it's like watching Harry Potter. Like, part one and two, you're going to, you know, there's a build-up, then there's the war. It happens, duh. You know, like... That's common sense right there. I'm just saying. But the thing is, I think I would have to say Endgame was much better because, again, you're seeing the final moments of a lot of characters that were loved. And, again, like they mentioned in the article, you're seeing a lot of emotional deaths. So I personally would say Endgame was better. And it's what wraps the whole... You know, that whole thing up. You know, they died. The people who died, died, sadly. The people who lived, lived. You know, and the people who needed to fight, they fought. We see amazing fights throughout the movie. So, I would say Endgame was much better because it kind of wraps everything up and it doesn't leave you confused like Infinity War was, even though you can't blame Infinity War for doing that because, you know, it was the beginning of the whole... It was the beginning of the war. It was like the build-up to it, so... That was about to happen. And number 3. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Overall, the MCU's overrated. Who wrote this one? Oh my gosh. Oh no, no, no. Oh no, I don't know what this person was on. Let me read to you, because I need to read this too. You see, this is why I needed to not look over this list beforehand. I'm glad I didn't. It's like a raw reaction. I did not know this was going to be in here. Why are they writing this article? This is number 3, by the way. So, like, not even number 10 or number, what was it, 7 or 8? That was, like, Daniels was right. Number 3, overall, the MCU is overrated. While the Marvel Cinematic Universe has become one of the top grossing franchises of all time, many believe that it is overrated. They think that the franchise did the comics no justice, while others love the movie overall. There are many people who did not enjoy the movies from the MCU. There are differing opinions as to why, but as a whole, they just found the films unenjoyable. What? Were we watching the same movie? I'm just saying. Instead of having the backstories of each character thoroughly explained, it seemed like they rushed out to put everyone together. Many people also don't enjoy the comedic aspects of the action films, okay? I get that. The jokes don't throughout make the movie less intense and don't theorize people who think these movies should be more mature like the comics. With differing opinions about each specific film, many believe that the franchise made well-made, super enjoyable, and has entertaining films. These movies have quickly became some of the most influential movies of our time. Compared to other franchises, the MCU is argued to have a great timeline, and every movie in the MCU is well-made. Sure, not all of them are as popular as others, but each movie has its fans and has its haters, for sure. And, again, like they mentioned... compared to other franchises, MCUs have a great timeline. Yes, I don't watch the DC universe, so that's why I didn't really talk about it when I was talking about superheroes and stuff. But I don't really watch DC. I don't really care for the DC universe personally. I think just, you know, that whole thing in general is kind of like confusing. And when it comes like down to like actually like making the movie, I'm talking about like out of like the timeline and talk and like out of like the actual characters, I'm talking like the script or the effects in the movie. That's what it kind of breaks down to me for the DC universe. But I definitely agree where it says that they're not enjoyable because of the comedic parts of it. But I only really see that for the newer movies. And I mentioned this last week, I believe. But that's mostly for the newer movies of Marvel. Where for Thor Love and Thunder, and Ant-Man Quantumania. Oh, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Those two, I feel like they tried so hard to make it so comedic and obviously to make the audience laugh, which I get is their goal, and I get that's a, like a lot of people's goal, unless like a sad movie. Like it's like an action movie. In the MCU in general, there's the people in it, they have jokes, they laugh, they make these jokes obviously, so it's not like it's not expected. But I feel like with Ant-Man and Thor, they really tried to pile up on the jokes and they just never hit. Like there was never a time as far as I can remember while watching those two movies, I was like cracking up laughing because it just didn't happen, you know? Like it didn't happen, like, because nothing was super funny. So I feel like they tried, they didn't succeed, obviously, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean the movie is bad or anything. Like Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and Thor and Love and Thunder were a good 7.1 out of 10. Oh, 7.012 out of 10, I should say. But that was just my opinion. I feel like they overloaded too much on the comedy, and then they didn't really hit the mark of what the movie should have really been focused on, in my opinion, though. And for the people saying the comics and the movie, I didn't ever read the comics, but I feel like that was kind of hard about making movies, or even TV shows, making movies about things that were once like books or something, or books are in this case comics. It's hard to live up to what the comic was, because the comic was obviously the original. You know, the comic was the what everyone knows happened first. Like, if the comic says this person died in 2001, and then in the movie, it's 2001, and you're, like, sitting on the edge of your seat the whole movie, waiting for them to die, and they don't die till 2009 or something, you're gonna be like, what is happening now, you know? But I feel like you cannot let that stop you from watching the movie and having like your judgment on it and having like a clear mind on it. Like that's why I'm like, I'm fine. Obviously I was like, for Percy Jackson, for example, I love the show and I love the movie, but I never read the book. And even for Harry Potter, I love the movie but never read the book. I'm like, I'm fine not reading it, because I know if I was reading the books and I read all the books by now, I would be comparing every single thing about Harry Potter. I would be comparing every single thing about Percy Jackson. It just doesn't work, you know? I would just be like, he didn't do that, his hair wasn't that color, oh, she didn't look like that, or she didn't say that to him in the book. I'm like, no, that would just ruin it for me. So the thing is, I don't think movies should be the exact same thing as a comic. It's never going to be. And again, you cannot try to, you know, cookie cut like this one, the comic into the movie. I feel like at that point it just gets boring and repetitive anyway. Like personally, if you're going strictly based off the comic and you're like, oh, this person's gonna say this now, we have this person gonna say this now, then it's boring. And obviously movie is gonna be like 2 hours long. Obviously it can be like an hour and a half, whatever, but a movie is going to be 2 hours long, close to 2 hours and 40 minutes, whatever. They're going to be pretty long. And that comic, I don't think has enough information in that comic to fill up a whole entire movie without it being boring. So they have to fill it up with action scenes. They have to fill it up with a little bit of background, the other characters. And obviously since they're forming the Avengers, that's the whole point of like this whole franchise. They're forming this whole Avengers team. They're going to be talking with one another. They're going to be focusing on, getting these characters together and them finding each other and them having their disputes together. That's what they're going to be focusing on, because that's the whole point of this franchise. Getting them together, they're fighting as the Avengers, not as getting a whole movie or, you know, two whole movies about what this guy's been through in his life. Like, that can be summed up within, you know, within a movie where they're going, like, back and forth, or they're going back, like, they're having, like, flashbacks of what he's been through, or he's, like, talking about what he's been through. Simple and easy as that, you know? I feel like people forget that. You can never try to make a movie or make a show exactly like what it was before. Like, you cannot try to make it be like the book that it was or the comic it was. It's never going to work. Like, if anyone does know any books or movies that have been turned into shows, or no, if anyone knows any books or comics that have been turned into shows or movies that are exactly the same and that, like, are pretty accurate, I heard the Percy Jackson show was pretty accurate to the books, but other than that, then tell me, because I actually want to know then. But I don't think it's overrated. Honestly, I think it gets the perfect amount of reaction from people. So I wouldn't say it's underrated either, because, again, it gets a lot of hype for what it is. So, just saying. And who was the most powerful Avenger? This is, like, I feel like the biggest thing. And the picture that they're showing here, I'm pretty sure they're showing every Avenger, but this is definitely not the most powerful Avenger. I don't know what they're on. But the most powerful Avenger, before I even read the whole, what they were going to say, I would personally say Wanda. Wanda was single-handedly going to beat Thanos. Like, she was going to beat him. She was going to win. She was going to get the stone. It was going to be over. But Star-Lord, he had to come in and ruin it. So, just saying, but Wanda, Scarlet Witch. I keep saying Wanda. Scarlet Witch, she's most powerful. Let me read it what they say. There are many different responses to this question. Lots would argue that it's Scarlet Witch, Thor, or others. In this section, I will be talking about two previously listed. Scarlet Witch powers stem from an Infinity Stone. Okay, so do Captain Marvel's powers, but she can't force her enemies to hallucinate or control things with her mind. Wanda's strength is exemplified at the end of Infinity War when she was destroying the Mind Stone while simultaneously holding back Thanos, aka the most powerful villain that the Avengers had ever faced. Oh my gosh, I can't talk today. Sorry. She held him back with one hand and destroyed an entire Infinity Stone with the other. Her ability to control chaotic magic is what people argue beats everyone else. Duh. Like, that is literally the answer. Thank you. This person is slowly getting back on my good side. When they said a few stuff, I was like, what are they saying? But for sure. Okay, Thor. I don't know why that's the comparison. I thought it was going to be someone like, you know, I don't know, someone else. Vision. You know him. Thor? What are we doing? Thor, however, is a literal god, which is understandable. He can control lightning, has weapons made from the strongest metals, and is also very strong. He defeated the Fleet Frost Giants, Iron Man, and the Hulk and Surtur, and many more enemies. With the ability to control lightning and take on the full force of a star, Thor seems to be undefeatable. Here's the thing. They just put Iron Man and Hulk in it. Duh, of course he can beat them. Like, Iron Man is just a rich man with a suit, essentially, just saying. Like, even though I love Iron Man, oh my gosh. But he's just a rich man with a suit. Like, of course Thor, literal god, is going to be him. And Hulk is just a very big, angry guy. Of course Thor is going to beat him. Like, again, they're going against the god. But he's going against Scarlet Witch. You know, it's a difference, you know? That is a big difference. Like, her powers are crazy. Like, in one of the movies, she literally single-handedly, like, made them hallucinate. So, just saying, there is no competition. I feel like if Thor and Scarlet Witch were to go hand in hand right now and they're about to fight, I would have my money on Scarlet Witch, because I knew and I know that she would win. I would personally bet money on that, because I know. In this picture that they have here, they don't have every Avenger, but it's interesting. I don't think they do. It was interesting to see the ones that they have here. I can't really see it well, but the ones that they have here and the ones that they don't. Like, obviously, they have Scarlet Witch, they have Spider-Man. I think it's just a representation of all of them, but even though, like, Spider-Man, definitely not. Like, Star-Lord, no. when it comes to people who were, who have like suits and are at good at like combat, they're not going to win against her, obviously. Like, she will like turn them into dust, you know, like that's not going to work. But obviously when it's people with like powers, like Doctor Strange, him and Vision, I think were, and Thor, I feel like those are the only three that could probably give her a run for her money and would probably like pose a threat to her. Other than that, none of them are actually coming close. Just like, I'm just saying, I cannot try to express that enough. I said what I said. And Thanos, again, like this article mentioned, like I said, she was going to beat him once, she would do it again any day. And then that was number two. So now we're at number one. Is Captain America, Iron Man a better leader for the Avengers? And I believe when I looked at the Marvel website, the official Marvel.com like website, it said that Captain America was the leader. And did it say that? I believe it did, yeah. And I was like, I don't think he was the leader. I said that. I was like, I don't think he is. Because, again, me personally, again, though he was in the military and he knows what it's like and he was, is a pretty good leader, I just don't see him as the leader. He's a good leader in general, but I don't know. Every time I think of Marvel, not going to lie, maybe just because I like Iron Man and just because the aura that Robert Downey Jr. brings to the role and just Iron Man, like, vibe in general, whenever I think of Avengers leader, I'm thinking of, oh, Iron Man, the rich guy. You know, I'm thinking of him automatically, personally. Let me read to you what it says. Is Captain America or Iron Man a better leader for the Avengers? It seems that there isn't an individual leader of the Avengers. Many would argue that it's Captain America, while others would argue that it's Iron Man. While Iron Man, how it was the first movie to come out, Captain America's storyline happens first. The one time they tried to make a collective decision about something, they split into two teams and fought against each other in Captain America Civil War. So who would be the better leader, Captain America or Iron Man? Question mark? Good question. Ever since the beginning, Captain America has always wanted to fight for what's right. Even after transforming to a super soldier, he never let the new power get to his head, and that drive to do the right thing remained within him. Steve also has had military training, which gives him experience with leadership in battle, whether it was direct or indirect experience. He also prefers working together, while Iron Man tends to prefer working solo. Others argue that although Iron Man struggles with integrity and doesn't have military training, his powers and his mind make him more powerful than Captain America. And Iron Man can fly, shoot lasers, and have perfect aim while being protected by his titanium suit. Iron Man is also already a public figure, and his personality makes him well-liked by the media, making a great face for the team. Which, again, I understand both sides. I would say, I don't think the reasons they really provided are good reasons, to be honest. Well, any of them should be a leader. Actually, just make somebody else. But I see why both of them would be seen as a leader. I think in terms of how someone can lead a team, like I mentioned, Captain America would win. But I don't know. I just feel like Iron Man would come, like, I feel like he's kind of like, should I say the brains? Like, he's the money behind it. He's the money and kind of like the brains behind it, in my opinion. Like, I think he kind of has that in his back. Like, he's smart. He has the money to do it. But again, them pointing out that Iron Man can fly, shoot lasers, and have perfect aim while being protected by a titanium suit isn't really a good reason why he's the leader. I feel like the leader, in any worst case scenario, anything happens, he should be the one to go step up and be like, hey, let's go, I'll go fight the most powerful guy out here while you guys try to get to safety. And honestly, Iron Man might have a better chance of making it out, because Captain America is essentially just a very strong guy with the little shield. Essentially, that obviously the shield can go back and forth, it's like a boomerang, but you know, that's essentially his role. And Iron Man is essentially just a rich guy with the titanium suit around him. Period. Like, that's just what it is. So both of them will kind of like be damaged at the end of the spot, you know, at the end of the fight. Like, they'll both be really hurt. But I feel like Iron Man kind of has the better chance at getting out. So I will say Iron Man, and I will stick with that answer. I have to. I just think it would work better. He would work better as the... Oh, sorry, I moved my mic. He would work better as the leader, in my opinion. But it's 1:54 now. I feel like I've been talking a lot. I said a lot of things. I went through this whole list. I honestly didn't expect to get through this whole list, but I'm glad I did. I didn't want to stop my thought in the middle of it. So I went through that. That was... Vocal.media.com, top 10 most controversial MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe topics. And that will be it for me today. I will be on next week at 1 o'clock for anyone who just probably popped in now or within the past 10 minutes. This is the Sheila Show. I'm on every Friday at 1 o'clock to 1:55. And you're listening to me at hawkradio.primostream.com. Next week, I'll be continuing this subject and then we'll kind of jump into the movies coming out, so they didn't do it this week. So just pop in next week and then we'll talk about new movies coming out in the cast. Bye.